Hi, just when you thought it was safe, it's episode 2 of Digital Outbox. And hello, we've made it to week 2, and joining me again is Shaquille. Hi Shaq.
Hi Ian, how you doing?
I'm not too bad, yourself?
Good. Super excited to be back.
Oh, I can't say that anymore. We've been certain people have reckon that's my catchphrase now, so it's banished.
Yeah. Okay.
So we've made it to episode 2.
Yeah.
Thanks for people's feedback on episode 1, which I was quite surprised. Well, we were both quite surprised when we had a look at iTunes.
Was it 44 or 46?
46. I couldn't. Well, I don't know how they work it out, to be honest. But yeah, we were 46 in the technology audio podcast. Fame and fortune is beckoning.
Yeah, our 5 minutes of fame.
Yeah, I think we seem to drift away quite quickly. I think we made a kind of one-day appearance and then disappeared.
But we'll be back.
I've not even looked at like how many downloads we got or anything. I need to get that sorted.
It's been a busy week for me, and I guess it has been for you as well elsewhere.
Yeah.
So it's nice to be back a little bit later than we had planned. But,
yes.
Got some special treats for you this week, so let's crack on.
Let's crack on. That's definitely your catchphrase, let's crack on. So this week for me, what really caught my eye was the Digital Britain report. I don't know, it's got big implications going forward for UK and broadband piracy and for the broadcasting sectors. I don't know how you felt about it. Certainly for me reading through it, it just seemed to lack a real ambition, certainly from the broadband side. I mean, to turn around and guarantee 2 meg, it was like whoop-de-doo.
Definitely. I mean, they're sort of, I think I was reading on the news earlier today, they said they want Britain to be the UK's number one hub as far as, internet technology is concerned. I'm like, with 2 meg, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
In Korea, the standard is 15 meg and above, and we are getting fantastic, super fantastic 2 meg speeds. Brilliant.
Yeah. And that's what was disappointing. I mean, this is setting a blueprint going forward.
Mm.
And 2 meg just seems such a, I don't know, just such a small.
Yeah.
I mean, fair enough, there's still probably, for those that are not on broadband, it must be a really frustrating on dial up. I know when I've moved broadband providers, I've been out without broadband for a few days. It is criminal now when you try and even load up a BBC site or anything. It just takes so long with all the the audio and video streams, and it's just really slow.
Yeah, and I think even with our speeds, we've got both of us are on 8 meg, I think. Maybe you're a bit higher.
Yeah,
but even with 8 meg, some of the websites, they're not as fast as I'd like them to be, and you think, imagine people on half a meg or less. You just get used to it, I guess. But
yeah, no, definitely. And I don't know what you thought about the 50p a month tax that Labour wanted to introduce.
Yeah, I read about that, and I thought, well, yeah, but will anybody really notice? It's 50p. It's not much, is it? 50p a month. Come on.
Well, it's. Part of me feels I'm not fussed because it's like, well, so what? You're going to tax us somewhere or another.
Hmm.
But at the same time, I don't know. BT was privatised. A lot of these companies are private concerns, and they should be investing going forward. But I think the government should be doing a whole load more, apart from just saying we're going to raise some taxes and put that tax on current phone users.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully it will help, to build up maybe the big cash pot, and then they can go beyond 2 meg to maybe, higher. Maybe once it starts off, it will get better. But
yeah, I know BT have come out and said that because they're looking at rolling out over the next few years, actually getting fibre to street level. So not fibre to the home, but at least getting a cabinet local to you fed with fibre. And they're saying they hope to maybe using this fund, they could maybe hit 90% of the UK, which sounds, that does sound really promising.
Yeah. I mean, the copper from your box to your home, it's usually quite a short length anyway, so I think it will increase everybody's broadband speed if they get fibre optics down to their local exchange box, I'd imagine.
Yeah. I mean, Virgin Media, I've got the advantage that they can actually, they've got a pretty extensive fibre network, and if you're lucky enough to be in a Virgin Media area, I mean, 50 meg's not to be sniffed at.
No. I mean, both of us were Virgin Media customers, weren't we? But
yeah,
the service isn't the best in the world, I'd imagine. Speeds are good, but yeah.
Well, we both had good speeds.
Yeah.
But what annoyed me was just the amount of, I don't know, it was every day, just felt I was getting throttled back.
Definitely, yeah.
And then for a month, my IP address was getting routed via Ireland. You know, so any service I used was going to Google Ireland or eBay Ireland, and I just hated the support. I mean, phoning through to, for the best will in the world, but phoning through to some guys in India who just weren't that good.
They were just reading off a script. You know, just shocking. It took ages to get through in the first place, and then you get through to somebody who doesn't really, you know, they're not like, your interest is not their concern. They're just reading off a script, and
yeah, absolutely,
it's just not good. But so, you know, they've been really good with broadband.
Touch about wood, I've been quite impressed with O2 for the tenner a month that I'm paying. Well, that was a big difference, because with Virgin, I'm not interested in taking their TV, because their TV product for me sucks. And I'm not in the HD, they don't do enough of, and I'm not interested in having a big library that I can play from.
Yeah.
But the broadband cost, I mean, we were paying, what, £38 a month?
Well, I was on a reduced tariff for the first year, and I really enjoyed it then, but then when I went up to full price, and then that's when I started getting throttled as well, and I thought, it's not good. I need to switch.
Absolutely. That was what annoyed me. I was paying £37, and I could only really use that speed at certain points of the day, or else I was just throttled back.
Yeah.
And it was just quite annoying. But yeah, O2 have been quite good. I don't know. I just think they should have showed more ambition for something setting out the future of Britain, considering they're talking about delivering high definition services over these lines. You're looking at some of the game services that certainly companies are talking about, and how much that depends on a really, really good, not just, you know, downstream but upstream speed.
Yeah.
And ping. I mean, there was not even any mention of, you know, like ping times and prioritisation for services. It just seemed, I don't know, it just seemed a lot of fluff.
I mean, for all the ISPs in Britain, until all of them or most of them get rid of this, these caps that they have, you know, like if you go beyond a certain cap limit and you're downloading per day, they'll throttle you. We'll never get, you know, TV on demand, like what they're promising us, you know, like HD TV and playing games on the internet.
I can still see us getting to a world of, If you're wanting HD, then we'll prioritise it, but you'll need to pay, you know, X pounds a month. If you want to game, we'll prioritise it, and you need to pay X pounds a month for some sort of game package on your broadband connection.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know. If I got the service, I'd be quite willing to pay. I guess you don't.
Well, you know, I think we're paying enough as it is.
Well, speaking of paying, I guess the other important part was all around about intellectual property. So there was, I don't know, I mean, certainly they're indicating that they want to get a lot tougher with pirates, torrents, etc. To the extent that they want to, well, what they were saying is they're not going as far as the French law that they've brought in with this three strikes nonsense and we'll throw you off the net, which has now been thrown, you know, one of the courts in France has ruled it illegal anyway, so.
Yeah.
But it sounds like they're going down the line of letter writing mostly and by introducing, basically, throttling the speeds. Which I think we've got already.
Yeah.
So I don't really see what that changes.
I think it's just it's the big companies, aren't they? They're pressurising the ISPs. The thing is, no, they can't kill piracy. People will find a way to get music for free or whatever. What they need to do is, in my opinion, change their business models. You know, bring out something that benefits the consumer and benefits them as well. That's reasonably priced, fairly priced, and people will be willing to pay for it. I mean, we both tried Spotify, haven't we, for music?
Yep.
Quite a good service. Quality isn't too bad. You know, there's a lot of huge range of music. But if they increase the quality a little bit more, I'd be willing to pay for it, you know. But at the moment, I just think it's good for what it does, but I don't want to pay for it. I'd rather get my own music, you know, rip it myself on my iPod and listen to it that way. So I think that's what it comes down to, having a good business model. And then I don't think most people want, you know, they don't want to become a pirate anyway. You know, if they can get the music legally at a decent price, they would do.
Mm.
I mean, I've spent a fortune on iTunes, and not so much recently, but if they were a little bit cheaper, if I had more choice, and yeah, you know, I'd be buying lots more music than I am now.
So the day before the Carter Report came out, Virgin Media launched this proposed deal with Universal, which was for basically for a monthly fee, which they've not disclosed. They're saying it's for the price of a couple of albums, which could be, I guess for me, is anything from, I was going to say for free, but from £10 to sort of like £15-17. And it's a all-you-can-eat service where you pay that monthly fee, you can download whatever you like, you own it, it's DRM-free, and it can be used on any device. And this for me, was trying to do something different.
Yeah.
And there is some caveats in there. It is only one label, so it's not going to have the range of music that you're looking for. But I really like the idea.
And
I guess the other catch was as well that they will, you know, send out letters and try and stop people torrenting. And I guess Virgin was maybe different from the Carter Report, and they've actually said they would temporarily suspend internet access for repeat offenders. So that's slightly different, and I'm guessing that's a trade-off that they're having to go through with Universal. And they've had to sign up to that to get the service. So, would you pay?
Yes, I would, I think. Yeah, if there was if the choice was there, lots of available titles, then yeah, I think I would.
Cool. Now, well, here's a question for you, and we've not rehearsed this. If there was like some sort of, I don't know, media fee, £40 a month, £50 a month, I don't know how much it would be, and you could download anything, DVDs, games, music, would you pay it?
It depends on the price. £50 seems quite high, I think, for most people.
Okay.
But having said that, I mean, Sky HD, we both pay the HD tax on that, on top of, like, regular Sky.
Yeah.
And I don't think, you know, yeah, it's still a high price, but I don't think I could do without it anymore. I couldn't go back to 5-channel TV.
No, I know, so, absolutely.
So, yeah, I mean, if I could maybe have, I think I would need to try it out to sort of say for definite that I would pay £50 or not.
Mm. Well, obviously, £50 is just off the top of my head.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just thinking something that's, I mean, I can't see many of the big companies, you know, signing up to it unless it is sizable.
Mm.
But at the same time, I'd be, I don't know, I think to be legal and to own the stuff legally, I'd be quite happy paying. I'm quite happy paying now, but I think for a lot of people, you know, like movies and music is free. I'm not going to get away from that.
No. I mean, what do you feel about digital media compared to physical media? You know what I mean? Because I like the idea of having, you know, like, as far as movies are concerned, like nice little boxes that I can, you know, stack on the shelf and then lend to my friends
you
and
tart.
Family. What?
You tart.
But, no, you know what I mean? So you can, like, lend to people, your friends and family, and they can watch it. Whereas with a digital media, download it legally, it's more of a hassle, isn't it? I mean, before DRM it was impossible,
well,
but now it's a bit of a hassle because...
Yeah, but if I read the Virgin deal right, it's your music, it's DRM free, you can do what you want. So if I want to share that with you, it's as easy as copying it to Dropbox or I put it
in
a stick.
Yeah, no, sorry, that's not what I meant. I meant like it's like with a DVD, for example, or a Blu-ray, I can just hand it to you. It's already on it, and that's it.
Yep.
Whereas with a download file, I'll need to either stick on a USB stick or transfer it over. Again, that's fine because we are both tech savvy.
Yep.
But imagine giving it to your mom or somebody who's not really into computers. They just want to watch on the TV, not on the computer. No,
and
so
I think that's why physical media is still going to be around for quite a while.
Exactly.
I mean, people have been talking about how in maybe in 2 or 3 years we'll be moving to like fully digital services. I think there's still a long way to go.
Yeah, I think music has sort of kind of made that change, isn't it? Most people now prefer digital music.
I think so.
Well, video is different.
And there's two things. I think purely because they could get it for free. You know, it's, I mean, people maybe say that iTunes is making the jump or you know, services like Spotify, but it's torrents.
I think it's torrents, and also that in the past few years the internet speeds for most people have increased, where it's not longer, you don't have to wait like hours to download music, it's minutes, which is nice.
Especially when it's free.
It's nice. Okay.
But yeah, that'll be interesting. I'm really looking forward to seeing the actual details behind the Virgin deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, moving on. Windows 7. And just craziness. Absolute craziness, I think. So the European legal boffins have said that they can't ship with IE as a browser. So they've got to ship versions of Windows 7 without a browser. But they've also still got the previous agreement in place that they've got to ship without a media player. So now for Europe, when it launches on, what was it, October 22nd, there's going to be 12 editions of Windows 7.
This makes me laugh.
Six without a browser and six without media players and the browser.
That is just craziness.
I've got it the wrong way around. It's six without the browser and... Well, anyway, that doesn't really matter. There's 12 in total, which, I don't know, I don't think you can really blame Microsoft for this. This is just...
No, it's not their fault.
This is just getting daft.
I mean, how can Microsoft have to do that and then Apple are quite free ship OS X, you know?
I'm guessing it's all down to market share. You know, OS X, for all that we like it, it's still tiny compared to Windows market share. But it just seems daft. It's just hurting the consumer.
Exactly. I mean, if I was buying a PC with Windows 7, I don't want to have to go and download IE and Media Player. Cause
how are you going to download it? There's no browser. And that's the... You know, and so there's all this kind of talk like, oh, well, they'll have another disk alongside it with a, here's your IE browser, then it's up to you if you want to install it or something else. It's just daft. And it's I don't know, somebody do-gooder in Europe sticking their oar in again. I mean, if they want to go and find Microsoft, fine, but this is just hurting end consumer. Something that also Microsoft have started talking about this week is a free antivirus and spyware and Trojan and rootkit solution, which I don't know if they're going to keep the name. It's called Morrow. It's going to be free, and it's out this
tomorrow.
Year for... It's out this year for Windows 7, XP, and... Vista, but nobody will use that anymore after October, probably.
But I'd imagine they're going to integrate that Windows Defender thing into this as well, then.
Yeah, I think all that live care stuff that they had is all being rebadged as this or stopped, and this is taken over. I think it's a good move.
Yeah,
I think it's a good move because there's a definite problem. I guess in some ways I'd hate the OS X to start gaining a bigger market share. And becoming a bigger risk of, you know, Trojans.
Yep.
Spyware. It's one thing I just love. Just don't need to worry about it right now.
Although there are sort of software out there for Macs, aren't there? Like antivirus programs. But I just wonder who uses them.
Well, there was a couple of Trojans earlier. I think it was earlier this year. And it was for, if you were looking for some adult video codecs. So if you wanted to see the videos, you needed to install the codecs. So they got quite a lot of people installing the codecs, and they put a Trojan in. So it's not impossible. It just needs the right thing.
Yeah.
It just needs a good hook. And I guess porn is a pretty good hook for a lot of people. You need to stop mentioning porn. That's the second week in a row.
You're obsessed, man.
I am obsessed. I cannot deny. Anyway... So go on, you can tell us about Natal.
Project Natal, well, there have been a few rumours recently that Microsoft could be bringing out a rebranded Xbox next year, which will have all this Natal functionality built in. But then you hear another rumour saying, no, that won't happen, and I'm just not quite sure what's going on there. I mean, certainly I've, you obviously know that I sold my Xbox last year or the year before.
Fool. Absolute fool.
Well, I'm not into gaming that much, but...
Liar.
You know, if I wanted to, like, if I suddenly found the time to play games again, then I would consider getting an Xbox again, and that would probably be next year. So if it does come out, a rebranded Xbox, maybe with a few more added functionality here, that would be my choice.
Hmm. I'd be tempted myself, even though I've got one.
Haven't you got, like, two or three?
I've got two. you make that sound like a bad thing. Well, I got two because of Red Rings, but let's not go there. I'd be tempted, just even if it was quieter. I mean, the update that came out last year that allowed you to install it the hard drive, and see, because you're not spinning that DVD, just makes such a difference. You're playing any other game apart from Halo 3, because Halo 3 is slower if you install it to the hard drive.
That's unusual, isn't it?
Yeah, according to Bungie, they optimised. So they actually already cache in the hard drive as well as using the DVD.
I see.
So by installing the disc to the hard drive, you're slowing it down. So it is bizarre. But the difference, I mean, every other game is just so much quieter now. But not as quiet as the PS3. PS3 is still, you know, like, so silent compared to the 360.
I mean, hopefully when they bring it out next year, if they do bring it out, then the technology will have improved as well, so maybe it'll generate less heat, so it might be even quieter. The fans won't be kicking as much.
Yeah, I guess the only thing that was confusing was that crazy man Steve Ballmer was up on stage talking about it's a new console.
Then you put him on a leash, I tell you. It really gets his nerves.
He's unleashable. he's just a big bear. You know, just when you see him bounce around, you're just like, shut up. It just seems odd that the guy that's on top says, oh yeah, there's a new console coming next year, and then the team behind it say, oh well, hold on, we're not actually said that, and you know, we've still got a long way to go with the 360. I can see there being a new device next year from them.
Yeah, I think maybe there's a bit of confusion. I think maybe what Ballmer was trying to say was it'll be like the Xbox, but with, you know, like Natal sort of built in.
Yeah,
and I think some people maybe mistook that to mean like there's a brand new Microsoft console, you know, like a new edition of Xbox. So I don't know. Maybe it's just about that confusion there.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a big contrast between Ballmer in charge of Microsoft and Steve Jobs in charge of Apple.
Yeah.
But there was some news just out today about Steve Jobs.
Yep. Yeah, apparently, I don't think it's been confirmed yet, but it was on the Wall Street Journal. They say the reason he's been off for the last couple of months is because he had a liver transplant 2 months ago.
Right.
So he's been recovering from that, and they're still scheduled to make a return next few weeks, is it? Or is it another month?
It's supposed to be this month. It was taking 6 months off in January.
So, yeah, I mean, obviously he already had pancreatic cancer, I think, last year or the year before, and he's recovered from that, and this time it's, you know, the man's just falling apart.
Yeah, but he's got all the Mac fanboys in the world resting on his shoulders.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I still expect to see him back, but I think I still maintain this is him going to be handing over the reins.
I think so, yeah.
Which is, I think his influence, you know, can't be in doubt, just the influence he's had in the company, but I mean, there's obviously capable people there.
Yeah, I'm sure he's a hard taskmaster, but I think the influence as well he generates amongst people, like they're always keen to like impress him, you know, his designers and his developers, and I think that's one of the reasons why they can come up with like good products.
Yeah. Well, it was like this week there was some actual proper tests about the MacBook Pro came out with the battery life, wasn't there?
Yeah. Apparently, it's really, really good. You know, that it exceeded all expectations. They said with very light work, you can get up to 8 hours out of it, which is absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
And regular use, you get about 6.5. And that is really good. The MacBook I got, was it last year? I love the MacBook itself, but the battery life, you know, isn't as good as I'd like it to be.
Yeah, well, you got it when the unibody came
that's
out,
right,
wasn't
yeah.
it? Yeah,
and that was after like years of waiting for an actual new update, yeah. You know. So,
I must admit, when the first time I saw yours, I just thought just looked lovely. And it's, I was in the Apple Store yesterday, and I must admit that I tried both the 13 and the new 15s, and oh, gorgeous.
How much smaller does the 13-inch look compared to the 15-inch? Is it big?
It actually looks quite a bit smaller.
Oh, right. Okay.
But both felt just such a good machine. It's just, and it's, I was trying to explain it to one of the guys. Oh, it's just so solid.
Yeah.
And it's the fact there's no flexibility. And even with my MacBook, I used to compare it to my work machine, and it was like felt really solid and it was really nice. But this one is just a lovely design.
I mean, you know, like some of these anti-Apple guys, they say, you know, you're just paying for something that looks beautiful but doesn't actually work properly. Mm. And obviously, that's nonsense.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, if I was to... Somebody said, here's a notebook, but if you need to pay £100 extra for it just because it looks a little bit better, it's better built, I'll say, here you go, take it. Because, you know, it's like, you don't want something just going to creak about and, like, it's made out of cardboard or something like that.
But it's funny, I think there's still a lot of people that won't pay that extra.
Yeah, but I think do you think a lot of that is stubbornness? You know, maybe they've just...
Well, I don't know. I mean, it took us a long time to move to Apple. We talked about Apples before, and it took a long time to move
over. I think
that
was just a fear of the unknown, wasn't it? It's the software mostly, that are we still going to be able to do the things we do on the PC?
Yeah.
Download porn, should I say again?
Oh, we need to stop this. We're obsessed.
Well, going back to the MacBook battery life, it's a bit of geeky facts for you. They say the reason it's better than the old batteries, it uses lithium polymer opposed to lithium ion.
Wow.
And you are.
Wow.
And, basically, because it maximizes on the available space, so the batteries aren't inside, the batteries aren't round, they're like square, so they can fit into all the little gaps and stuff. But, you know, there you go. Just some little trivia for you there.
No, that's cool. Next week, I'm going to say, now here comes the science bit, and we'll hand over, we'll hand over to you, and you can take us through it.
I'll need a nice, sexy assistance, of course, to...
yeah, that might be a bit harder to arrange.
How do you know?
Anyway. I know. But yeah, I don't know, very tempted. Yesterday I was in the Apple Store. And also, it's just the realisation that we're not far away from Snow Leopard. You know, so there's not long to go before that's out.
Yeah. Are you going to pre-order it or something like that?
Well, I'll just buy it when it comes out. I mean, it's only going to be £20 or whatever here, so...
Yeah.
Instant purchase. Absolutely.
Definitely.
Instant purchase. I mean, certainly the videos that we've seen since the WWDC have just looked superb. Not many big feature changes, but just to get the increases in speed and the reduction in the amount of disk you need and the optimization, I just can't wait. It'll be interesting to see once the Snow Leopard's out and Windows 7's out. I think Windows 7's going to surprise a lot of people, so it'll be interesting just how... I guess not us. I mean, we're Apple at the moment, and we'll use probably Windows 7 infrequently until we get it at work.
Yeah, I mean, we've been told that, you know, as soon as it comes out, we'll sort of review it, and then hopefully within a month we'll update all our machines. So looking forward to that, because Vista is a nightmare for me to use at work at the moment.
Well, I'll be honest. I went in to help my neighbour. What night was it? Was it one of the nights this week? And it was their internet provider, and it was felt quite sorry. They had it's basically a DNS problem, so I moved them over to... Well, actually, that's one of my picks. So we'll wait until the picks, and I can do that bit of the story.
okay.
But just to throw it in, they had Vista, and it worked really well. It was performing really quickly, booted really quick, shut down really quick.
Is that because it had nothing else installed on it? Just Vista?
No, there was quite a few apps.
Hmm.
But they still had the pop-up screens getting in the way. But I was really surprised. So there's one other little bit of news that I'd like to just mention, because I feel quite sad for them, and it's PCW has closed. The print media is dying. I used to like PCW.
I think we both subscribed to it at one point or another, didn't we?
Yeah, but they were... And this is a bit that's annoying, and I guess it just kind of shows you how much the media can mislead, that they would review Apple products and just, you know, rate them at 2 stars, and then you could try them yourself, and it's like, well, it's not a 2-star product. You know, it's just the PC fanboy I said fanboy again. So will we move on to some picks?
Before we do that, I think just a couple of tidbits to throw in there. Some random news articles from the past week. Wolfram Alpha is now optimised for iPhone, so if you browse to that with your iPhone, you'll see a much better optimised.
Is that an app you download?
No. You just browse to it and it just optimised for that.
Cool.
And the other thing which caught my eye, I love my USB sticks. And apparently you can now get a 128GB USB stick from Kingston. And they released it at $546, which is absolutely incredible. But within the same week, another company called EdgeTech, they brought out a 128GB stick as well, which actually looks a lot nicer. It's encased in aluminium. And there it says $390, so there you go.
So what's that? Are they just normal size?
Yeah, just your normal sort of thumb drive, sort of USB sticks.
Interesting.
How do you pack that much in into one little
drive? I could take my whole music collection on a stick.
What size have you got?
Oh, I think I've got about 90 gigs worth just now of music.
Is that a video as well, or is it just music?
No, that's just music.
Blimey. Yeah. Okay.
Yes,
so.
Blimey. But to be fair, it did actually increase when I started. I re-encoded a lot of my music when I ditched all my CDs.
As you should.
Yes. So some picks. I'll my first one, which I really do recommend, and it's for anybody, it's for any platform, is OpenDNS. I don't know if you've swapped over to using OpenDNS.
Yes, I have.
Yeah, I've mentioned it to a few people, but I think a lot of people don't get what DNS is or don't understand the benefit they can make. So as I was saying, I popped in, my neighbour had a problem, some website's not appearing. Went and had a look, is it a virus, is it all the normal things you think with Windows. But we proved by getting another browser, it was DNS issues that we're getting. So there's a few tests and a few pings. I explained about what OpenDNS was, but you could see there's a bit of a kind of grey mist. What is this DNS? Why is it all of a sudden stopped working? We swapped it over, rebooted the router, rebooted the machine. What a difference it made.
So what is DNS and what does it do?
The way I described it to my neighbours, just to try and keep it simpler, was if you type in your google.com or your marksandspencers.com, the DNS is basically looking up the IP address for you. So you don't need to know all the complexity behind the internet. You don't need to understand IP addresses or where servers are. You're typing a nice friendly address and it does a lookup for you. Now the difference, certainly I can't even remember the internet provider they were using. The difference it made was instead of taking maybe 10-15 seconds to load up msn.co.uk, it was there in 2 or 3 seconds. It was phenomenal. And we proved it, we switched it back off again, and we still had the problem.
So basically, OpenDNS is a lot quicker at matching your address you typed in with the actual IP address, whereas some other ones might be a lot slower. They might have, rubbish algorithms.
And they also do, there's a couple of other services that they actually add on as well. So they will actively, try and make sure that your network is protected, so they'll make sure that any spoofing sites or whatever have been removed, and it's a really, really great service.
Is this all free then, yeah?
It's all free, yeah.
Fantastic.
And it's at opendns.com, so we'll put a link in the show notes. The thing I really like about it is they've got the help pages for all the different routers. So even if you're not too sure about going into your router and making these changes, they've got nice pictorial guides to take you through the changes. And then they'll tell you at the end whether it's worked or not. So it's highly recommended.
Sounds
what about yourself?
Cool.
Any picks this week?
Yeah, I came across something which I was really, really surprised at. PS3. Now, normally when Sony bring out something for the PS3, like some new bit of software, I'd always look at it and I think, okay, big deal. Home, for example, and that photo gallery thing, nothing special. But this week, VidZone they brought out, it's another bit of program you sort of download, and it's like a client, then you go into it. And it's actually got a really, really nice user interface, and you can stream music videos and listen to music. So I thought, okay, maybe, you're going to get like the top 10 and that's it. But I went, and then the choice is actually quite good. they've got a lot of different like categories, like the current top 10, Metallica's greatest hits, the top 20 sexy videos of all time sort of thing. And then you can create playlists and you can, you know, add them to your profile, and then you can just sort of start them playing, leave it in the background, and you get all these nice little videos just playing, and there's no stutter, there's no...
What was the quality like? Was it quite pixelated, or...?
Well, on a big screen, it does look a little bit pixely, but you don't really get full screen. You get, right. like, quite a large window, but it doesn't actually cover the whole of the screen. And the quality was perfectly watchable. You know, it was like BBC iPlayer-type quality. And the sound quality, yeah, not the best in the world, but it was just as what you would get from, like, watching MTV on, you know, on Sky.
And this was free?
This is all free, and I was really, really impressed. I thought, you know... First time Sony have done something right in a long time.
Yeah, and did it launch? Is it launching like another application? So you go to the menu bar and you'd select it? Is that how it works?
Well, you launch this VidZone thing. So, like, you know, when you go into the PSN store and it launches this sort of like interface
right.
for
so
you.
So it's just like launch another.
And then you just got like a nice big sort of giant, what I would describe like a ribbon at the top. With like right. big sort of categories, and you scroll through the categories, and you click on one, then on the, sort of vertically it lists all the sort of like top 10 songs in that category. But in reality, I think you get about 30 or 40 songs, and then you can just say, add this to my list. And then when you start playing a list, it will play them in order, but you can, while it's playing, you can scroll through your list and pick something else and say, play this immediately, and it will just stop, play the new song, and this. Not that much lag between, you know, your actions.
I need to give that a try.
It's really, really nice.
Yeah.
Good for parties, I think.
No, that sounds really nice. And it's free. It's definitely free. Well, it just seems unusual with these kind of things. There's some sort of hidden charge somewhere.
Nothing for this one.
Well done, Sony. And I think that's us for the week.
Yeah, we'll keep it short and sweet like we promised.
Yeah, I think that was one of the main feedbacks that came through, was that we'd been droned on far too much last week. I did point out to people once we start, it can be hard to stop.
Well, the idea was, you know, like every now and again we'd have like a special edition to cover any like big events, and it could be a little bit longer, but usually we'll stick to 30 to 40 minutes.
Speaking of special events... You don't mean something like an iPhone launch?
I think that would qualify as a special event, yeah.
So maybe in a few days' time we'll have episode 3 and it'll all be about iPhones.
It could be episode 3 or it could just be a special edition podcast. Special edition.
Look at us, 2 episodes down and we're into special editions. So you can find out more about us on our website, which is www.digitaloutbox.com. And if you want to get in touch, you can email us info@digitaloutbox.com. And we're on Twitter. Follow Digital Outbox. So where can we find out more about you?
You can find out more about me either on the Digital Outbox website, or you can go directly to my blog at shakilnaim.com.
Yeah, I see it's sporting a new look this week.
Oh, it is, yeah.
Yeah,
still working on it. It's not finished, but slowly but surely.
No, it looked really smart.
What's your website at then?
My very plain and boring website is at END.net.
Plain but effective.
Well, yeah. I just can't do colours. Don't know what it is. Anyway, we'll draw to a close. So hopefully in the next few days we'll have our iPhone special. Yep. Whatever it's called out. And we'll be taking people through not only the new operating system, but the new iPhone that I picked up yesterday.
I'm not jealous at all. So I'd just like to say thanks to everybody who listened to episode 1 and who's listening to episode 2. If you have any new listeners this week, thank you for joining us. And all listeners, thank you for listening again and putting up with us.
Yep, thanks. Much appreciated. Any feedback, let us know.
Yep.
And we'll catch you soon.
Yep, see you next time.
All right, cheers. Bye now.
Bye.